Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're joined by Brendan Haywood, former first-round pick back in the day at a UNC. Big man, 14 seasons. He's a broadcaster, and he's good. What's up there, big man? How you doing today, Brendan?
Man, what's going on with you? How you doing, fellas?
Good.
We are doing well. Brendan, let me ask you a question about Disney World, because I'm reading an article in Orlando Sentinel where Disney workers have posted a petition on MoveOn.org to delay the opening of Disney World. Now, this is for regular people. This is for thousands of workers that would have to come back and work for just regular visitors to the park, not necessarily the NBA bubble. But we've already started to see a couple of guys, and they're very different reasons. Avery Bradley was today because of his son, Trevor Ariza, also because of his son, but not because of a health reason. It's because he wants to spend time with them during visitation. David Bertans, because he doesn't want to risk injury. How many more guys do you think are potentially going to say, this isn't for me right now, whether it's because they don't think they can win a championship this year or really because of the health?
I think we're going to see a lot more guys. I'm not saying that it's going to be like a couple hundred, but there'll be some more guys that for certain reasons say they don't want to play, whether it's because you got guys that are in free agent years, or you have some of these young guys that guys like Jason Tatum and some of those guys that they're going to be up for max extension soon. They saw what happened to DeMarcus Cousins and Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas got hurt in the playoffs. Was close to $200 million. We'll never, ever see that money again.
That's right.
So so some of these guys are looking at the situation, and they're like, I'm not going to get a full camp. I'm probably not going to be in the best of shape, but I'm going to be playing high-level NBA basketball. So I could tear something, rip something, and I could get COVID all at the same time. If there's a lot of money on the line, some guys are not going to want to do that, and then there's going to be other guys that strictly say, you know what, just from a not knowing what's going on with COVID standpoint, I don't want to be a part of that as well. So this isn't the last of guys that will be opting out. There will be some more guys that will opt out.
Agreed. How does this go down, though, within the dynamics of the locker room, particularly for a team that's got a chance to win a championship?
Man, like, we're in uncharted territory. I've never seen a team had a chance to win a championship and they had a player say, nah, I don't want to play. Because that's normally just what we all strive for. Tiki knows, when you have a chance to play on a championship team, and you know at the beginning of the year whether you're like championship good or not, like you said, well, maybe we could possibly get there. Then sometimes you're like, yeah, we can. We've got a good chance to win it. When you're on one of those teams that has a chance to win it and you don't want to play, that tells you there's a real problem. Like, we don't see that. We haven't been in anything like this before. So I don't think the locker room is going to look down on anybody. Like, you can't look down on Avery Bradley for saying, yeah, my son has a respiratory problem and I don't want to risk it.
Yeah.
like, I don't think anybody's going to be saying that, but there are some other situations that I'll be looking at as far as, well, it seems like Dwight Howard sided with Kyrie Irving, and it seems like Chris Paul and LeBron James are on the other side. How does that play out in the locker room? Because Dwight spoke out in one fashion, and it didn't seem like he was on the same side as LeBron. Like, how does all that play out? So I think that's more of an interesting dynamic as well. I don't think guys will be mad at Avery Bradley because he's not playing, though, because it's for the right reason.
Yeah, no, he's choosing his family over you know, the risk here. And Avery Bradley's a starter. A lot of people don't realize that because he's overshadowed by AD and LeBron. But he started 44 games this year, and he's a good defender. They might not miss his offensive production, but he's a very good defender. So it's going to have an impact. But the question that, you know, that makes me, you know, think about this in a larger scale, Brendan, is, you know, what can we expect? Like, what are the games going to look like? You talk about guys that are maybe in contract year saying, man, I'm not trying to, you know, go hard and tear my ACL or rip a hamstring or do something detrimental. What's the game going to look like? We already know there's no fans, so it's going to be sterile in a sense. What's it? I can't, like, imagine what it's going to feel like watching these games.
The game is going to look slightly different. First of all, there will be no fans. And any athlete will tell you, the fans give you the juice. Like, you always come out there to play, but the big time plays where they talk about momentum, that's all fan. Momentum is nothing but fans.
Yeah.
Like, when you're making big time plays and the fans get behind you and you start feeling that energy, that's not going to be there anymore. So you're going to have to see, okay, what teams are mature enough that they don't have to play to the crowd. And that's going to be different because we play to the crowd our whole lives. That's basically what we've done. We want to win, but we've played to the crowd our whole lives. So it's going to be a little bit different. And then I don't think we're going to get the highest level of basketball, because most of the time when you look at the season, you had a training camp and 82 games to get ready. And now some of these guys, we don't know who's been doing a lot of work, who hasn't been. Some guys have been running, but they haven't been playing basketball. It's not like you've been able to play 5-on-5 during the pandemic.
Unless you're the Lakers.
unless you're the Lakers, exactly. So it's gonna be a different dynamic of who's in shape, who's not in shape. I think some of the play could be a little bit sloppy, a little bit stagnant, and then it's going to be different not having fans. I don't think this is going to be the highest level of basketball that we're used to seeing in the playoffs.
So we're talking to Brendan Haywood, who was a former first-round pick out of UNC back in the day, champion 2011 with the Mavericks, CBS Sports NBA TV analyst with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Speaking of the Mavericks, where you won, I mean, you know, Luka Doncic, there's a report that he's out of shape, whereas Jokic lost a lot of weight. You know, the European player is kind of a virtual unknown. So I, in terms of, like, where they are now, because they're just so far away, in terms of trying to handicap this tournament, if you will, don't you think the teams with a larger influence of Europeans, either in terms of quantity or just if their best players are of European descent, I mean, that's probably a big disadvantage, don't you think?
I don't think it's a disadvantage just because you're European. I think it just depends on how seriously you took your conditioning. That doesn't matter. That could happen to somebody that's European or somebody that's in the United States.
I just meant getting back, though. Obviously, not saying they're not going to work hard because they're European. I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
But just getting back logistically.
Oh yeah, getting back. Yeah, that's gonna be very hard.
Yeah.
Like, we just seen the Joker try to get back, and he got the quarantine.
Yeah.
You know, for 2 weeks, and that's a different, like, that's 2 weeks of non-activity. So he's in shape now, like, he looks physically great. But when the Joker tries to come back, he is going to be gassed. He's going to be incredibly out of shape because he hasn't been able to run, bike, or do anything for two straight weeks. It only takes – Tiki, how long does it take you to get out of shape? About four or five days of doing nothing?
Yeah, no, it's quick, man. I know this because I run now. And when I don't run for a week or two, I'm like, dude, what happened to me? And it's not like I look worse. I just am not in the same type of cardiovascular shape. And these guys haven't played in 2 months, man. So you talk about this being ugly. This could be real ugly. And I wonder who benefits from that, right? Is it the James Hardens of the world who actually has been in good shape and working out in Arizona? I mean, we were joking about the Lakers and having that replica, you know, facility at some super fan's backyard. But for real, that's a serious advantage for them. I mean, some teams just aren't going to look right come this restart.
Definitely. There's going to be some teams that don't look right. There's going to be some teams that I know they're having training camp, but, you know, training camp still isn't going to be like playing 5-on-5,
yeah,
figuring out late game situations. The good teams, if you really watch them play, they know exactly where the ball is supposed to go down the stretch of every ball game. And that takes time, though. It doesn't just happen overnight. You've done it so much throughout the course of the regular season that you're like, okay, yeah, this is how we win. Well, now these guys got to figure that out on the fly.
Yeah.
Where normally you've had 82 games to be like, okay, we're running this play for this guy in this situation. If that's not open, we're going here. If you ever watch really good teams play, they might miss shots. But coming down the stretch, they're efficient. Like, you watch the Spurs when they were really good. They knew exactly where the ball was supposed to go. Maybe Danny Green missed a corner three, but trust me, he was wide open.
Yep. Yeah.
And so it's going to be a different type of feel because the cohesion is going to be off. The chemistry is going to be off. The conditioning is not going to be there. Oh, and then we're talking about guys like Joker that have COVID now. There's going to be guys that get COVID while they're there. Mm-hmm. And that's going to throw things off as well. So this is – we're getting NBA playoff basketball, but it's not going to be the same brand of basketball. It just isn't. It's just, there's no possible way it could be.
You know, this is more for next year, but it's still going to be a big story, provided the season starts on time, et cetera. You know, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, if Durant's right, and I think, you know, based on his body type, he should regain most of what he was before the ruptured Achilles. When Kyrie's right, he's a beast, even though he's pretty fragile. Who would you hire to coach that team? Those are two pretty unique cats, at least in Kyrie's case, a quirky cat. What would you do if you're making that hire for Brooklyn? Who would you bring in?
I'm either bringing in Tyronn Lue or Mark Jackson. Tyronn Lue he understands superstars. He played with Kobe and Shaq. He was one of the few guys on that team that was cool with both Kobe and Shaq. He's played with Tracy McGrady. He's played with Michael Jordan. He's coached LeBron before. You know, he's coached Paul Pierce. So he understands superstars. And one of the reasons why he got the head coaching job was while David Blatt was scared to talk to LeBron, Tyronn Lue was the one that would stop the film and be like, "Bron, you can't just miss your rotation and then throw your hands up like it's somebody else's fault." He was the guy that stood up in the locker room when we were playing the Lakers and Kobe was cooking us. He's like, "Dog, go guard him. Stop acting like you're scared of that man, man. He's old. Go turn his water off. We pay you $200 million for nights like this." And, like, Tyronn Lue, he's not going to do it every night because you don't want your stars to turn against you, but he understands when there's a time to push that button. I think they're going to need a guy like Tyronn Lue because when you talk about Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, you talk about two talented players that have been known not to be leaders. And to win a championship, somebody's got to be a leader in that locker room. And if it's not going to be one of your two best players, it better be your head coach.
That's an interesting perspective. I didn't think of it that way, but that is a very good take. You mentioned Mark Jackson as the other one. You know, BT and I've had this conversation so many times. What's your take on him? Because
he's blackballed.
We know he's kind of blackballed, but does that ever go away? Because we know he's a good coach, but it feels like nobody wants him.
I think he's been blackballed, but I think people are kind of scared of him. Because there's certain aspects of how he lives his life that kind of can seep into the locker room that teams are scared of. And I'm not against it at all. First of all, he wears his religion on his sleeve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people don't like that. Then there was the situation with the assistant coaches, him and Scalabrine and all. That was a little bit weird. It was a little bit weird. And last but not least, there were some of the comments that he's made in the past about the LGBTQ community, where if you're in New York and somebody asked him and he gives the wrong answer, like they could be boycotting the Brooklyn Nets if he says the wrong thing. So there's that element of it. There's some reasons why. Those are the reasons why I've heard that he has been kind of blackballed and he hasn't really given the stance like, "I'm going to change the way I do those type of things." So teams are – it's not even blackball. They're kind of like scared, like, "Yo, this could go south, and you might say something that could hurt our organization."
And let's face it, and I like Mark, and I think Mark, I know he did a really good job in Golden State, and he was a very cerebral player because to have all those assists when you really couldn't move, he was never one of the good athletes on the court. Your brain's working at a very quick, rapid rate. You know, Mark Jackson's aptitude is terrific, but while he's a good coach, he's not Greg Popovich. And if there is some baggage, then maybe it's a business decision that, you know what, it's just not worth the headache. And he's good. He's not a great coach. He's good.
Yeah, I agree. Like, Steve Kerr took that team to a whole other level. Mark Jackson, he's kind of like the modern-day Bill Collins, where he did a good job getting things started, and then Phil Jackson took it to the next level. That's where Mark Jackson is. But whoever Brooklyn hires, that's going to be the most important hire of the Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant era.
Yeah.
Because the East has gotten a lot better than what we thought really quickly. Like, we thought Toronto was going to drop off. They've won more games than they did this time with Kawhi. You know, Boston, no Kyrie. You put Kyrie, take Kyrie out of that locker room, put Kemba in there. Boston's coming because those young guys are, like, when we talk about Tatum and Brown, they're stars. And Kyrie's their leader. Not Kyrie. Kemba's their leader, and they love Kemba. And he's not afraid to let those young guys shine. They're stepping up. Miami is way ahead of schedule, and you never know what Pat Riley can pull off a free agency. I don't think it's going to be the cakewalk that everybody thinks it's going to be for Brooklyn next year. They think that Kevin Durant and Kyrie are going to come back, and they're just going to run the East. I don't see it. If the Greek Freak's still there, Milwaukee's still going to be top notch. And more importantly, we just talked about chemistry. All these teams are going to have a certain level of chemistry that Brooklyn's going to be trying to figure out. But Brooklyn's going to have the pressure of the whole NBA watching them.
Yeah.
If we get to the All-Star game and Brooklyn's the fourth or the fifth seed, the article that you guys are going to have a field day. It's going to be the easiest days you ever have. We're going to talk about Brooklyn for like half our show.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be, and I don't think they're just going to come out here and run the East like that. I really don't.
Yeah. No.
Kevin Durant has an Achilles injury. He's going to miss maybe 15 to 20 games just due to rest.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a very good point. Before we let you go, Brennan, this is a highly speculative question, but the NBA restart's happening at the end of July. What are the chances that it goes through without a hitch and they actually finish the season?
Without a hitch, there'll be some hitches because mm-hmm. there's going to be some COVID-19 cases. Yep. And there might be some big-time players with COVID-19. Like
yep.
somebody's best player might, like the Joker has it right now. So we might be looking at a playoff series and get a headline, Paul George, knock on wood, or somebody like that gets COVID. So there will be a hitch, but I think they will push along the season because it's in everybody's best interest from a financial standpoint.
Mm.
You know, hey, listen, the players want to get their money for this year. More importantly, they want to finish playing out the season so that it doesn't affect the salary cap for next season and doesn't give the owners an easy way to trigger a lockout. So everybody wins if they play. I think they will finish the season. Might not be pretty, might be ugly. They will finish.
B, I need 30 seconds on this. It's Brendan Haywood. The eventual impact on the hiring of Worldwide West from CAA, it seems like the Knicks finally did something really, really smart. Does this change the way they're perceived by the players?
Man, listen, this is the first good thing the Knicks have done in probably the last decade.
This is a big one.
Listen. Worldwide West is connected to everybody. He yeah. connects people from the football world to the basketball world to the rap world. Everybody, he's connected. Like the young players in today's game have never really seen the Knicks be good. Like we're older, so we remember the Patrick Ewing days.
Mm-hmm.
Man, these guys in the league never watched that.
Nope.
Like the best they've seen him was when Melo was there, and that was only but so good. They've only seen the Knicks be bad and be a laughingstock. So now you bring in Worldwide West. Now some of those meetings that you weren't getting, you can get those meetings now. Now some of these younger players that Wes has relationships with, he can use those relationships to get meetings with the front office in New York. This is the first smart decision. You got to call. Hey, I've been on the Knicks hard, but this is the first smart decision the Knicks have made in a very long time.
I even thought bringing Leon Rose was a decent step. This is two or three steps in addition. So I can quibble and argue and say that Leon Rose made some sense, but Leon Rose is not a game changer. This one could be. I know where you're coming from. I got you. All right, man. Finally, some good momentum for my Knicks, but a long time before they become relevant. But hopefully this is the first step. Brendan, good stuff, man. Thank you for bouncing around the league with us.
Man, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.